Well, in that time-honoured Anglican way, we're going to start the service with a quiz. So if we could have the first slide up. The question is, which TV presenter would you most like to get to know? Which TV presenter would you most like to get to know? So the first one is David Attenborough. The second one is Tess Daly, for all you Strictly fans. I think that's right, isn't it? Gary Lineker is the third. Right, let's have a vote. Who would most like to get to know David Attenborough? Oh, there's a good number of hands going up there. Okay. What about Tess Daly? Any votes for Tess Daly? Okay, yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. I think somebody ought to take a note of the answers to this. Gary Lineker. There we go, Gary Lineker. Yeah, great. Good. Has anyone actually met any of these people? Interestingly? There we are. It's interesting. Right, let's have the next slide. Which member of the royal family would you most like to have a meal with? So let's vote. Let's go through them four. The Queen, Prince George, and Prince William. So the first one, who would most like to have a meal with the Queen? Yeah. Great. Okay. Good number wanting a meal with the Queen. What about Prince George? Kate, excellent. Yes. And Becca, look at that. Yes. And what about Prince William? Okay. Now, in the first service, we pressed people for answers as to why they'd asked that, but we've decided not to. I'm going to hand straight over to Tim instead.
I guess there's loads of reasons we can think of why we might like to meet some of those people. And there's loads of, I guess, famous people or just individuals that we would love to get to know. Individuals who have kind of lovely characters or who are powerful or who could help us in our needs. There's so many wonderful people we could get to know. But what if we could get to know someone who is perfectly forgiving and kind, who is powerful and strong, who knows us and wants the best for us, who in hard times brings goodness and joy? Well, who is that person? You've guessed it. It's God. There is nothing better than knowing God. Knowing God is what we've been made for. Now, a famous writer called C.S. Lewis, described us being made in a similar fashion to be how a car's been made. A picture of a car is coming up on the screen. Imagine a car, okay? And imagine filling up a car with lemonade or, sweets or something. What would happen to the car? It would be ruined, wouldn't it? The car wouldn't run at all. No, the car is designed to run on petrol or diesel. In the exact same way, we have been made to run on knowing God. We've been made to know him. We might think we are made to enjoy other things like sports, TV, or holidays. But no, ultimately, we've been made to enjoy knowing God. There is nothing better than knowing God. Knowing God is what we've been made for. But we know, don't we, that we have pushed him away. We've preferred to know other people, or we've not cared about God. We've preferred his stuff that he provides than to know him. We've pushed him away. Imagine a friend of yours came up to you and who wanting to spend time with you, and you say, "Nah, I would prefer to spend time with someone else, or I prefer to do other things. I really don't ever want to spend any time with you." Well, that's friendship ruined, right? Well, the trouble is, we've done the exact same thing with God. We know in our hearts that we pushed God away. There is nothing better than knowing God, but we have pushed him away. So the question we're going to be asking today in the coming talks is, how can we know God? If we've pushed him away and put him at a distance, at arm's length, how can we know God? And we'll be hearing more about that later.
Right, today's reading is taken from Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 38. Exodus chapter 40, 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are with us tonight and today, and we praise you that as we look at your word in the Bible, that we hear you speak to us. Lord, please would you be speaking to us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, initially, that reading seems like a bit of a funny passage to read, doesn't it? And coming up on the screen, there's one word in particular that perhaps we are slightly confused by. It's this word, tabernacle. So let me explain what a tabernacle is, or what the tabernacle is. Well, it's essentially a tent. Now we have a tent here. Apparently, Ian and Tams and Miller got it on their wedding day. And this tent, although it's lovely, and I'm sure you greatly appreciate it as a present, isn't quite as good as the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was designed by God. The designs were given to Moses. The tabernacle was bigger than this tent. It was made with wonderful material, and inside had these very fancy golden bits of furniture that had all these significant kind of meanings to them. But that's not the most important thing about the tabernacle. Now, at the 9:15, there was loads of children that I could pick on to volunteer. And I'm wondering whether, Patrizio, would you be happy to volunteer? Yeah? If you come up, Patrizio, and come in and look inside the tent, and there's a sheet of paper in there, and if you could read what that says. Great. Do you want to come to this microphone and say it to everyone? Yeah, you can keep hold of it. Have you set in the microphone up here? Yeah, well done. Thanks, Patrizio. That's perfect. And grab a seat. You can keep it or you can pop it back. It's up to you. Great. The glory of the Lord. Now, that's what's important about the tabernacle. Within this tent, the glory of the Lord dwelt. Now, this is amazing. Do you remember how earlier we said, there is nothing better than knowing God? He is perfectly forgiving and kind. He is powerful and strong. He wants the best for us. He provides all things. But then we said that we have pushed him away. Well, wonderfully, this isn't the end of the story. Early on in the Bible, we wonderfully see that God didn't stay at a distance. No, he came and dwelt with his people in the tabernacle. The people could know God again, despite everything we have done. The tabernacle is wonderful, but it is also limited. Now, we get a clue of that in our passage in verse 35. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The great Moses, who had known God so well, couldn't enter the tabernacle. The God came to dwell with his people, but you couldn't just kind of turn up and have a nice cup of tea with God in the tabernacle. No, there were barriers in the way. Now, I'm going to grab some of the barriers in the way of the tabernacle so then we can visually see them. So here's a couple. Firstly, people had to stand back from the tabernacle. You could not come close. You had to stay back. The tabernacle, or the glory of the Lord, was in this one place. You couldn't go down the street and find the glory of the Lord elsewhere. Or in the one place in the whole world, the glory of the Lord dwelt in this tabernacle. We've got some more. One person. So there was this one person, the high priest, who could truly enter in before the glory of the Lord. And this could only happen at one time in the whole year, what was called the Day of Atonement. And finally, on that day, what was needed was sacrifices. A lot needed to be done, a lot needed to be given up before people could enter before God. As you can see, wonderful that the Lord dwelt with his people. He could be known. But there's a great big barrier in the way. It was limited. The tabernacle, truly wonderful. The people could know God, but it was limited. So still we ask that question, how can we know God? Well, we'll hear more in our next talk. Earlier we saw that wonderfully the glory of the Lord came to dwell with his people, yet it was limited. There was a barrier in the way. Now, I'm just going to get my final prop for us. The story has not ended there. And here is a crib. Now, Patrizia, you did such a good job. I'm going to ask you to quickly come up again. That's an enthusiastic face. Thank you so much. I want you to look into the crib. Okay, there's two significant things there in the crib. Can you describe what's in the crib to everyone? A baby. And what's on the baby? Yeah, and what does this say? The glory of the Lord. Thank you very much. Do take a seat. Thank you. So wonderfully, the glory of the Lord is dwelling in this baby. We saw that the glory of the Lord was in the tabernacle and now in a baby. John's Gospel says these words. The Word became flesh. So that's describing God's way of being known has become a human and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. In the same way as God came down in the tabernacle, God has come down as a human. John tells us the glory of the Lord has made his home not in a tent, but a baby. And that baby's name is Jesus. Now, this is the great truth that we celebrate at Christmas time. But this is not a truth that just changes our 25th of December, but it changes all of our lives. We know through that we can know God through Jesus. By knowing Jesus, we know the one who is perfectly forgiving and kind, who is powerful and strong, who wants the best for us, and who provides all things. We can know God because he became a human. Now, some of us might be thinking straight away, well, Tim said that the tabernacle was wonderful, but the tabernacle was blocked off by this great big barrier. So perhaps it's the same for Jesus. Perhaps, actually, that we're limited in how we can come to Jesus. Well, the answer is no. All these barriers are taken away. Sacrifices. There is no need to do anything before we come before Jesus. All has already been done. One time. There doesn't need to be a particular time that we come before Jesus. We don't need to wait till Christmas or Easter or Sundays before we can come to Jesus. One person. You don't need to be a specific person to come to Jesus. You don't need to be a vicar or anything special. He invites all to come to him. One place. We can come to Jesus no matter where we are. We don't need to be in church or on top of a mountain or something before we can come and see the glory of the Lord. And finally, stand back. Jesus doesn't tell us to keep our distance. No, he invites us all to come near. He invites all to know him personally. Wonderfully, the glory of the Lord came down in a baby, and there is no barriers. All can come before him whenever we want. We can all know him personally, and we can know the glory of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And we should want to know Jesus. So as we see that, it motivates us to want to know Jesus, the glory of the Lord. We must remind ourselves of these truths. As Christians, we don't have a dry religion. As we open up the Bible, we see and see Jesus, and we get to know him. When we pray, our words aren't just hitting the ceiling, but we are praying and speaking to Jesus. There is nothing greater than knowing God, and in Jesus we find God in all his glory. Now, as I begin to draw to a close, I want to speak to some of us in particular. Having spoken to a number of people this December, I'm just very aware that a lot of us are really struggling and feeling that Jesus feels very distant. It's been a really tough year for many, and that's made Jesus feel distant. We found it hard to pray. We found it hard to, without kind of the encouragement of other believers in the same way. If that's for you, if that's true for you, I want to encourage you that the truths that we see today have not changed. There is still nothing greater than knowing God in and through Jesus, even when we don't feel that's the case. And I want to encourage us not to leave it there and think that it's okay, that I don't have the same passion to know Jesus as I once did. But I want to encourage us, after this talk, we're going to have a bit of time, use it to ask God to remind us what joy it is to know Jesus personally. Why not in the next couple of days speak to someone from church and ask them to be praying that you would know the joy of knowing Jesus? And why not over the coming weeks commit to reading a gospel? Look at the life of Jesus in John's gospel, for example. And as you do so, pray that God would show you the joy that you can have in knowing the glory of the Lord found in Jesus. Friends, there are loads of great people we can know out there, but nothing is greater than knowing our Lord and Savior, our God. And in Jesus, who is at the Father's side, he has made God known. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not stayed at a distance despite the fact that we've pushed you away. Thank you that you've done everything you can to make yourself known. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus, that we can know you, that we can see you in all your glory. And Father, we pray that we would enjoy knowing you in and through Jesus Christ. Amen.